month. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, please would you turn to 2 Kings chapter 1. We are in 2 Kings chapter 1 this morning. Actually, I'll tell you what, 2 Kings chapter 1 is good, but let's go to 2 Kings. Yeah, let's go. We'll stay in 2 Kings chapter 1. Let's kick off there, yeah. It says in my Bible, 2 Kings 1, and it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here. Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Verse 5. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me onto the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that. So the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You've actually asked a hard thing there. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened as they continued on that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and he tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and he went back and stood by the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water, it divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Verse 15. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Well, here at Rivers, we have celebrated our 50-year Jubilee month. Thank God for 50 years of God's faithfulness. Amen. Now, what a month it has been as we have reflected on God's provision. Hans was talking about God's provision, his miraculous wonders among us. You see, over the past 50 years, Rivers has celebrated its Gilgals. Rivers has celebrated its Bethels, its Jerichos, and its Jordans. Now, these locations are powerful because they symbolize in the Old Testament, as Rory has shared with us, the thin places. They symbolize portals, places where God has moved significantly, places where God has been encountered. There are these are spaces where God has manifested supernaturally. But here's the thing. As the church, we are moving now into Area 51. Sounds a little spooky, doesn't it? We are leaving 50 and we are moving into year 51. It's getting dark in here. Somebody's playing with the lights. Maybe it's the anointing. Oh, I tell you, get ready. You see, Elisha knew that he was going to be Elijah's successor. And in this story, Elijah transitions Elisha. He shifts Elisha from what God did into what God is doing. So I want to share with you this morning, this story we've just read was not a little meander through the Israeli countryside, going from place to place. And what I love about the Holy Scriptures is there's always layers to it. There's always more. Here a little, there a little, more and more. And I want to dig a little bit deeper into the text because what is happening here is so powerful in terms of Elisha's destiny. But who, before we go on, who were Elijah and who were Elisha? What do we know about them? Well, what we know from 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, is that Elijah was a Tishbite. And he was from the inhabitants of Gilead. And apparently, no prophet had arisen like Elijah since Moses. This guy was powerful. He was awesome. And the Lord spoke to Elijah in 1 Kings 19:16, and he said to him, I want you to anoint a successor, this guy Elisha. Now, this story is told off the back of the previous chapter, 2 Kings chapter 2, I believe it is, where what happened was Elijah was having a profound day at the office. What happened was this heathen king Ahaziah had sent companies of 50s of soldiers to catch Elijah and take him down to see the king. So one lot of 50s came, and Elijah said, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven." Down comes fire, and he smokes the lot of them in one shot. So the king sends another lot of 50. And the same thing happens. Elijah says, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven. And fire consumes the lot. Well, the third guy comes along on his knees. And he says, hey, all right, whoa. I'm just a guy under command here. I'm just doing what I'm told. Please don't fry me, you know, because Elijah was known as the prophet of fire. Don't mess with Elijah. Because what happens when you mess with Elijah is he responds with fiery indignation. It was pretty toasty when you messed with him. But let's look at verse 1 of our key text. It says, and it came to pass when the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Gilgal is a profound place. Gilgal in the Word of God actually means rolling together or uniting with God. Gilgal was the place where Joshua instructed the children of Israel to do something very specific. He said, I want you to take stones from the middle of the Jordan, because the Lord had miraculously parted the Jordan for the nation of Israel, and each of the 12 tribes were to pick up one stone. And they took them from the middle of the Jordan, and they went to the bank of the Jordan, and they put an altar, a memorial. They erected this memorial for all the nations to see that God was indeed a powerful God. I want you to look at this and turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. I want to read this account because this is profound. Joshua chapter 4, verses 21 to 24. It says there, he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, What do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. So as we hear that passage of Scripture, we can see the power and the importance of Gilgal. It was located in a place that became a memorial to God, commemorating the parting of the Red Sea and, of course, the Jordan. So Gilgal was, to the Israeli people, a thin place. It was a portal. It was a place where God had manifested so powerfully. You may ask, well, what is a portal? A portal is a pathway that connects the heavenly realm to the earthly realm. So what is the significance of Elijah's visit to Gilgal with Elisha? Well, Elijah was showing Elisha that a shift needed to happen. The shift needed to take place if Elijah was to fulfill his destiny. What was the shift? The shift was this. Imagine Elijah is talking to Elisha. He's saying, Elisha, I want you to listen up. Elisha, you are no longer going to have to visit the 12 memorial stones of Gilgal to encounter the power and presence of God. You are actually carrying the power and the presence of God that these memorial stones represent. You don't need to visit the stones to encounter God. You are an encounter with God. That's what Elijah was trying to say. So this message I'm sharing with you this morning is about Elijah taking Elisha on a walking sermon. It's a walking parable that Elisha takes Elijah through because he's showing him something. What is he showing him? He's saying a shift is coming where you will carry my spirit. And guess what, Elisha? You too are going to part the Jordan. Elisha, you aren't going to visit these memorials like the prophets do to encounter them, to encounter the Lord in these thin places. You are actually going to be a living memorial stone. That's what the shift was. So Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan, each of these sites were portal places where God's power had moved unusually and significantly. In each of these places, the people of Israel had elected memorials. They had built altars to commemorate what God has done. So look at verse 2. So Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. Stay at the memorial. For the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives, and as my soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha. The sons of the prophets get mentioned a lot. They were at Bethel, they were at Jericho, and they were at Jordan. Now, why were the prophets at these places? Well, I want to suggest that these places were thin places. Places where the power of God was experienced in an amazing and unusual way. So what Elijah does is he says, right, let's go on to Bethel. Bethel was another significant place. Bethel means, anyone? House of God. Bethel was called the house of God. Why was that? Because in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, God appeared to Abraham. And he said to Abraham, I'm going to give to your descendants the land. Which is interesting when you consider what's happening in Israel right now. The word of the Lord will prevail. Do we hear an amen from the people? The word appeared there when it says God appeared to Abraham is actually a theophany, which is a pre-Jesus Christ appearing before the New Testament. The word appeared mean God actually showed in some form before Abraham. So this was a powerful place of God encounter. But it gets better because in Genesis chapter 28 verse 12, and many of you know this, what happened there? That's the story of Jacob's ladder. Jacob comes to Bethel and he dreams this dream of this ladder that goes all the way to heaven. And he dreamed that angels were ascending and descending in that place. So Bethel had a rich significance to the people of Israel. Altars were built there. That was a place that you went to encounter God. Then Elijah said to him, verse 4, Elisha, stay here. Who wouldn't want to stay in Bethel? Bethel is an amazing place, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. In between these four places, Gilgal, Bethel, and then there was a Jordan, yes, Jordan, Jericho and Jordan. In between these four places, Elijah made the same statement. He said, stay here. What's the Lord saying to us this morning through this? Stay here, the Lord is leading me on. Why did Elijah keep saying the same thing? I believe because Elijah was doing a transition. He was trying to shift Elisha into his ministry and destiny. What he was saying to Elisha was this: do you want to stay in what God did, or do you want to move into what God is doing? And here's the thing. As I was preparing this message this week, I felt a real turmoil in the spirit realm. And I said to the Lord, what's going on? I'm preparing this message, but man, I'm feeling a push back in the spirit. And I felt the Holy Spirit was saying to me that there are people here at Rivers who have stayed. They have resided in what God did and haven't moved into what God is doing. And this is my challenge this morning. How many heard Pastor Ezekiel last week preaching the Word of God? You know, Ezekiel kept saying the same thing. He kept saying a shift is coming. He kept using the word shift, shift. And I said, I hear that. Come on, Ezekiel, say it again, shift. Yep. I'm going to be preaching on that, preaching on the shift. He said, a shift is coming. And then he kept saying, we are loaded with God. I thought, yeah, how good is that? How good is it to be loaded with God? I love that imagery. But let me give you an example of staying in what God did into what God is doing. Years back when I was at the Randburg AOG in Johannesburg, I had profound experiences with God. God moved in my life in ways that are just profound, ways that completely transformed my walk with God. And during that season, the song We Exalt Thee became really prominent. And I remember, singing We Exalt Thee with tears in my eyes. We exalt Thee, we exalt Thee. And during that season and during that time, that song was so powerful and so profound for me. But the thing was, I went on as a worship leader, and almost every time I led worship, it was We Exalt Thee. Again, We Exalt Thee. Again. I loved it. And it's wonderful to have a prophet as a wife, which I do. This lovely lady called Wendy, she was very, very gracious to me because she saw how much I loved that song. And she came up to me one day and nudged me and said, time to move on, Aaron. That's a great song. And still to this day, when I sing that song, the tears come to my eyes. We exalt Thee. I go on for hours. I love that song. But the thing was, I was camping back in that time, in that era, back there at Randburg, where God was working way back in what God did. And I hadn't moved on in my worship expression into what God is doing. Some of you are looking at me funny. Let's look at the Word of God together. Numbers chapter 2. You see, this is not uncommon. This story repeats again and again in Scriptures. Now, in Numbers chapter 2, the children of Israel are in the wilderness. And guess what? They were complaining again, which is unlike any one of us in this church. But I'm giving you this message because you might know someone from another church that complains so you can help them. I know we never complain. But the nation of Israel were complaining again about the food and about the wilderness. They were whining to Moses and they were complaining to God. And so God decided, right, I'm going to send some fiery serpents in your midst. And these fiery serpents, I mean, whether they were actual snakes or something else, came into the camp and they began to bite people, and people began to die. It was full on. And so the people of Israel, as they would always do, ran back to Moses. We're sorry, we have sinned, we've done the wrong thing. Help us, Moses. So what Moses did under the instruction of the Lord was he created an image from one of these fiery serpents, and he stuck it on a pole. And he erected the pole in the middle of the camp, and everyone that looked at that pole became healed. Powerful thing. And there were people that were dying, kids and grannies and all, that were dying from these snake bites, and they looked at that pole, and they were miraculously healed. Now, fast forward to 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 4. And a good king came to rule over the nation, the part of Israel called Judah. This was a time in the the annals of Israel, where Israel was divided. One king ruled over Israel, another over Judah. Now, King Hezekiah was a good king. He came to power in Judah, and he started to rid the land of all idols, and he destroyed an idol called Nehushtan. Now, what had happened was the children of Israel had taken that image that Moses had erected that brought healing, and actually they had taken this image and they were burning incense to this image and they were worshiping this image. It was crazy. They made an idol out of the creation instead of worshiping the Creator. And so Hezekiah destroys this thing. And imagine for a moment you're in that scene where this worship is going on to Nehushtan. And maybe you were one of the people of Israel that said, hang on a second, aren't we supposed to be worshiping God? And here you guys are worshiping this image. But I can imagine some of the people said, excuse me, God moved. When we looked at that thing in the wilderness, my granny was on her death. She was about to pass away. And we looked at that thing, and guess what? We got healed. So we're going to keep worshiping that thing today because God moved. And no one could deny that, could they? God did move back then. And this is the challenge I find, is that we can all camp in what God did. And if anyone argues with you, oh no, we exalt thee. God moved and we exalt thee. It was powerful. People were healed. People were transformed. So let's sing it again. We exalt thee. 20 years later, we exalt thee. 30 years later, we exalt thee. But we're camped back there. And we're looking after Nehushtan. Don't you touch my Nehushi. This is my Nehushtan. He's cute. He's gorgeous. He healed us. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with what's happening here. And so Hezekiah came through and said, that thing isn't God. That thing's an idol. Get rid of it. You see, we can take up residence. Here's the point, in what God did and not move into what God is doing. Amen? So Elijah takes Elisha on a pilgrimage from Gilgal, which means uniting with God, to Bethel, which means house of God, to Jericho, which means fragrance of God, to Jordan, which means to flow down or to descend. Now, at each site was a significant spiritual site, and Elijah says to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has led me on. Elijah was saying, in effect, to Elisha, you have a choice, and we all do, in your upcoming life and ministry, to stay here back in what God did or move into what God is doing. And we as Rivers have the same choice. We can stay in the 50-year celebration. How good was that? Let's keep on partying. Wonderful. Or we can move into Area 51. You see, in year 51, as we go forward, we can either stay in what God did or we can move into what God is doing. What's the point? I believe the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, where have we stayed when we should have obeyed? Where have we stayed when we should have obeyed? So Gilgal and Bethel, they were two portals. They were two altars of memorial to God's awesome supernatural intervention. They move on to this place called Jericho. And Jericho was another place where God had moved in powerful and unusual ways. Jericho was a city that was surrounded by a wall that was impenetrable, a wall so imposing that two chariots could ride side by side on top of this wall. Nothing was going to take down the wall of Jericho. Nothing except worship. Do you know worship brought down that impenetrable wall? Oh, I believe there's a sermon in there somewhere. Some of you have an impenetrable wall in front of you. How are you going to take it down? By willpower? By strength? By your own ability? No, I believe you're going to take it down by worship. Because I believe worship heals. I believe God is still working through the power of worship to bring down walls all around us and bring down walls that are holding you back. Do I hear an amen this morning? Hallelujah. So the last place Elijah and Elisha went was to a place called Jordan, which means to flow down or descend. Now the Jordan, again, was a location where God continually demonstrated his sovereign power over his creation. Time and time again, the servants of the Lord, under the word of God, actually parted the Jordan and walked through on dry land. Now, what are memorials? Memorials here, described in the Word of God, are portals. They are thin places. They are spaces in our spiritual journey where we encounter God in unusual and powerful ways. Now, memorials are wonderful places. I want to make this clear this morning. Memorial places where God gives us life-defining memories. And in these places and spaces, God moves. There's no denying about that. But the point I want to make this morning is these spaces are never meant to be residences. See, Elijah said to Elisha three times, stay here at this memorial. But Elisha replied, I'm not residing. I'm making a choice not to reside in what God did. I'm going to walk with you and enter into what God is doing. Well, this is all over the Word of God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 84. And we're going to read together in Psalm 84, verses 4 to 7. Psalm 84, verse 4 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. And there's a selah there, which means pause and think about this. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. Look at verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. This spiritual life that we are living is a pilgrimage. It is a journey. It's not a place where you camp and say, well, God moved back here, so I'm going to stay there. No, we are meant to move on. You may say, well, that's just the Old Testament. I'm so glad you said that, because it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, reading from the Amplified Bible. Verse 18, and we all with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively, everyone say progressively, being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Is anyone feeling this morning? Verse 9, let's get back to our key text. We're back in 2 Kings 9. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. What was Elisha up to here? Well, the double portion was the firstborn's inheritance. In Jewish tradition, the firstborn received the double portion of the inheritance. Elijah says, I want the first portion. I want the firstborn inheritance. I want the double portion. Elisha didn't want to be greater than Elijah. But he knew something about Elijah. You see, Elijah was one of the Old Testament's, one of the Bible's greatest prophets. But he was prone to a couple of things. He was prone to suicidal depression. Elijah was prone to the fear of Jezebel, and he was prone to being a loner. He didn't really do community that well. You see, Elisha wanted the double portion because he didn't want to succumb to depression. He didn't want to succumb to the fear of Jezebel, and he didn't want to live a life of a loner. Well, Elisha, praise God, he received his request. He got that double portion, and we know this because in the scriptures recorded, Elisha did double the number of miracles that Elijah did. Oh, and by the way, Elisha took down Jezebel. Verse 10, so he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Well, Elijah said, this is a hard thing. Why was this a hard thing? Why was the impartation of that double portion a hard thing? Well, Elijah said this because he understood there's a challenge that we have in the Christian life, a big challenge. It's called the power of distraction. You see, Elijah was pointing out something profound when it comes to the heart of God. And here it is. When it comes to the heart of God, if you can see it, you can have it. That's what he was saying to him. If you can see it, you can have it. I can see some of you saying, oh, is he one of these prosperity preachers? You know, talking about prosperity. No, I'm talking about the word of God. If you can see it, you can have it. You see, in the Old Testament, the servants of God were constantly asked this question. They were asked this question, what do you see? It's interesting that they weren't asked what is there. They were asked, what do you see? And I believe God is pouring out a seeing anointing upon his people. And that's what the Lord is asking you right now. I'm not asking you about your problems and your circumstances and everything that's going wrong. I'm asking you not what is there, but what do you see? Because you see, if you see it, you can have it. And here's the challenge. If we camp in distraction, when we stay there, when we reside in distraction, it always leads to disappointment. If you have a distraction in your life right now that is not the Lord, I promise you, it will disappoint. It is going to disappoint you. And if we live in that place called disappointment too long, it leads to deception. And it's tragic when many people, and each of one of us, I'm sure if we pass the microphone around, you could tell me right now of people, men and women of God, who were so powerful. They stood on the tables in pubs, didn't they? And they preached the gospel, and God's power moved. They were significant in the kingdom of God, but they got distracted. And they stayed too long in that distraction. And so it moved into disappointment. And that's the toughest thing, isn't it? To talk to a Christian who's disappointed in God. That's a tough counseling session right there. But if we live in disappointment too long, it leads to deception, where we start looking for other alternatives to the Lord God. And you see, Elijah knew this. So he said, you've asked for a hard thing, because can you keep your focus in the middle of distractions? Then it says in verse 11, then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Apologies to the Greek, what is it, the African-American spiritual, swing low, sweet chariot. No chariot took him home. What was the chariot doing? It wasn't swinging low, sweet chariot. What was happening there? The chariot was actually a distraction. Because remember the word of Elijah was, if you can see me when I'm taken from you, you can have your double portion. So sometimes, get this, manifestations of God are a distraction. I know that's a hard one. That's a good one to have over a cup of coffee to try and work that one through. But you see, the test of the chariot and the horses of the fire was designed by God to see if Elijah could keep his focus in times of testing. You see, the test this time wasn't hardship. We think of testing has got to be difficult. No, no, sometimes testing is actually M&Ms. Remember Gary's M&Ms? You see, the M&M testing is, are we going to look at the manifestation or are we going to look to the master? And that is the challenge before us. You see, Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan were all places where God manifested powerfully. And no one could argue with that. You see, but the lesson is here. When God manifests in and around your life, it's good to make a memorial. Absolutely. Make a memory. Enjoy what God is doing. But then move on. Don't live in a place of what God did as instead of moving into a place of what God is doing. You see, ultimately, we have to make a decision. Are we going to reside or are we going to abide? You see, we can reside in what God did or we can abide every day in the presence of God. It's time to move into the now of God. That is the Area 51 message to you. We are now, as a church, in year 51. 50 was amazing, and boy, did we celebrate, and that was amazing. But hey, it's time to move into 51. So Elisha saw it. And he cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. Elisha saw Elijah was taken from him. What did he do next? He actually tore his clothes, which was symbolizing, I am leaving behind the old. I'm ridding myself of the old way of doing things. And what did he do? He picked up Elisha's mantle. He picked up Elisha's mantle. I wonder in your life today, I wonder in the church in Australia, where have the mantles fallen? And where are the Elishas going to emerge? They're going to pick up those mantles and say, I'm going to roll with this. That's exactly what happened. He did roll with it. He rolled it up. And what did he do? He hit the water. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And then the waters parted this way and that way. And then the 50 prophets looked on and they came and they bowed the knee. They bowed down before Elisha and they said this to him, surely the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. So Elisha crossed over. He crossed over. I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to us this morning and saying this to us as the church at Rivers. Will we cross over? Will we cross over into what God is doing? Or will we camp in what God did? I want to ask you this morning again, where have you stayed when you should have obeyed? God is calling us to a fresh obedience. And I get the whole idea. Area 51 is scary. It's spooky. It's like, what's up ahead? But we were singing prophetically this morning. It's just getting started. Don't you love that song? Just getting started. I love it because the best is yet ahead. We are moving into the next 50 years. Oh, the past 50 was glorious, but the next 50 are going to be even more amazing. God is going to do profound, profound things in this place. I believe God is calling us as a church into a new season. The season is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Let's read that together. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we think, ask, and imagine, according to the power that works in Rory. According to the power that works in the prophets. according to the power that works in? It works in us. And this is the season that we're in, where God is not looking for celebrities to lead us on. He's looking for us, because that's what it says, according to the power that works in us. Look at verse 21, Ephesians chapter 3. To him be glory in rivers, in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations. Oh, I'm looking forward to the grandfathers and the grandmothers, the middle-aged people and all the kids, worshiping God together, working and flowing in the miraculous together. That's what God wants. Why? Because it says it right there, to all generations. And if you're in a senior season of life, you are not retiring. You are refiring. Time to get some retread on them old tires, amen? And start flowing in the power of God. People in their middle-aged season of life, you are an example to the children. Each generation is powerful and is necessary to see what God is doing. Because why? The Bible says all generations. I love these folk who run around and say, oh, we're preaching to the Joshua generation. Come on, Joshua generation. I love to point out to them afterwards, Joshua is actually 80 years old. So if you are 80 years old, praise God. You, the Joshua generation, you're going into the promised land and you're going to take it in the name of Jesus. Can all the 80-year-olds say amen? Amen. Some of you are saying, I'm 80 years old by faith. I love that. So Rivers Church, here's the question. Where have we settled in what God did and haven't moved on to what God is doing? You see, Elisha had to make a life-defining choice. He had to make a decision. Was he going to settle in what God did or move into what God is doing? You know, I love memorials. I love places and spaces where God has worked and God has moved. But the danger is we can camp in those places and we can start worshiping the place as opposed to worshiping God. Memorials are important, but memorials become an idol when we settle there. And our worship becomes, oh, you got to come to this place because this is the only place that God moves. Oh, come over here to Gilgal. No, 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 come over here to Bethel. Hang on. God's moving in Jericho. Let's go over here to Jordan. And people run around all over the planet looking for this particular place, not understanding that in the Holy Spirit, when the power of God is upon you, you become an encounter. Where you go is an encounter with God. It's not about locations. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want you walking away from this place saying, oh, Aaron's against us going to, you know, Bethel in the United States or going, go where you need to go. But, you know, memorials are great. But the point I want to make to you is you are carrying the power and presence of God. You carry the power and presence of God. Wherever you go is an encounter. And as we go into year 51, you are taking the power and presence of God with you. Let's all stand in this place this morning. Hallelujah. Can you bow your heads in this place? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, would the team come and just lead us as we move into a time of ministry? Hallelujah. As our heads are bowed and as we're focused on the Lord this morning, I was very conscious preparing this message that many have camped in what God did and haven't moved on into what God is doing. And God did powerful, powerful things. No one can deny that. And we celebrate each and every powerful encounter that God performed in each of these places. But I really felt in the Spirit that we need to make a shift this morning. We need to transition into a new season. We need to embrace what God has up for us ahead. It's time to move on from just singing a song just that says the greatest days are yet ahead and start moving and stepping into those great days which are just ahead for us. So what I want to do this morning, as our heads are bowed and as we're focused on the Lord, I just feel very strongly that there are some here in this place, and you've camped in a place where you shouldn't be right now. You have stayed where you should have obeyed. And some of those places that you have camped were great and glorious places. But for some of you, those places are called disappointment. Those places are called distraction. And maybe it's come to the place where that space for you has been deception. But as the Word of God has gone forth this morning, you're aware that you're not where you should be. And I believe this morning, the power of God is here to transition you, to shift you from where you were into this new season that we're going into as a church. So if I've just described you, I want you to do something brave. I want you to shift this morning. I want you to shift out of your seat and come down the front and begin to have dealings with God. Just come and stand with me this morning. If you know you're in disappointment and you're not in your destiny, if you have camped somewhere and no one's going to argue with you, yes, God moved back there. Oh, there was a powerful time in God. But here's the challenge. Are we going to stay at that memorial at Gilgal? Are we going to stay at that memorial at Bethel? Are we going to stay at that place of Jericho? Are we going to stay in Jordan, or are we going to move into the fullness of what God has for us this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ministry team, won't you come? Let's begin to pray for people this morning. Hallelujah. Just begin to lay hands on people and just pray with them. Just agree. The Bible says when two or three agree, there I am in the midst. You shall ask anything you will and it shall be done. Just begin to pray for those that have responded. Pray the shift of God upon them out of where they were into the now. We need to move into the now of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just stay in this place of worship right now. Thank you, Jesus. It's just getting started. He's just getting started. Thank you, Lord, you're getting started. The best is yet ahead. He's just getting started. Just getting started. Best is yet to come. Best is yet to come. Folks, let's just take a few more minutes to worship the Lord. I'll close the service in a couple of moments, and we can have tea and coffee. But let's just worship the Lord. Let's move forward. Let's shift in our thinking. Let's shift in our understanding. Let's shift in our lifestyles from what was into what God is doing. Now to Him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all we think, ask, and imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations. Hallelujah.